As the COVID-19 pandemic continues to cause global upheaval, governments across the world have been striving to put in place emergency measures to ameliorate the impact on businesses and individuals, including in relation to property. The European real estate team at Squire Patton Boggs has produced an in-depth report, COVID-19 Government Measures in Real Estate, looking at the range of responses across the continent. I'm speaking today with David Holland, a partner in the firm's real estate litigation team, to discuss the report and its key findings. Great to talk to you, David.
Good afternoon. Nice to speak to you.
So first off, can you give us an overview of the firm's report, which is available on your website at the link provided, and what you sought to compare across the different jurisdictions?
Yes, of course. Well, really, this was born out of our experience across our European and indeed global real estate team, of some of the experiences we've been having in helping our clients in different jurisdictions manage the impact of the coronavirus pandemic. And it struck us really as a team that what was needed was really a way in which you could compare the various rules and provisions that different jurisdictions have introduced. So the focus of the report is really on providing a summary of the main government and state interventions that have been taken across several European jurisdictions, all with a focus on the real estate sector, of course. And I think the report sets out in a summary table the broad range of measures that have been introduced, which range from tax relief through grant funding, state aid type measures, through to suspension on rent payments and restrictions on enforcement options. So it was really about collaborative effort between our real estate lawyers and tax lawyers across Europe in pooling experiences and providing hopefully a user-friendly reference guide for real estate professionals and businesses and individuals affected in the various jurisdictions.
And I'm sure as you've been doing that, you've had a close eye on how, in particular, the UK compares to the other jurisdictions you've been looking at. So if you were to grade the various responses of the European countries you considered, how well would the British government be doing?
I think I would say pretty well. The British government were initially criticised for being relatively slow off the mark in announcing interventions, particularly concerning commercial properties and business interests. Announcements around surrounding residential properties were came before commercial property announcements were made. However, when the announcements were and the provisions were brought into effect under the Coronavirus Act 2020, they are quite wide ranging and they in some ways are quite innovative. Mm-hmm. I would classify them as a broad comment, saying the government has sought to strike a balance between targeting key sectors of the real estate sector, in particular, such as retail, hospitality and leisure, who might be said to be on the front line of the economic impact that's occurred. But there are overarching measures, for example, restrictions on eviction and termination of both residential and commercial leases, which are more widely applicable. So I think on the whole, there is it's a pretty comprehensive set of measures. Although there have been criticism made around just how far the various measures introduced have gone and whether further steps are required to be taken as the pandemic continues.
Looking at the range of other countries overall, are there any main ways in which the UK is lagging behind some of our neighbours?
I would say in terms of some of the European countries have had a firmer grip on direct state aid type interventions. So the likes of France, for example, and to a certain degree Italy, have brought forward direct funding and grants available to individuals and businesses where they meet certain criteria. In the UK, there has been a grant scheme introduced, but it's applicable only to retail and hospitality sectors, and therefore is restricted to those sectors only. Now, there's also one-off grants available for small businesses trading from premises with rateable values under £15,000, one-off grants of £10,000. There've been concerns raised around these grant schemes that A, they're too narrow, they don't apply, they should apply more widely than they do, and also that the actual timescale for accessing those funds has been delayed, and there's been quite a lot of press around the flow of monies coming through and being delayed perhaps as far as into the future as June. So I would say that other countries have been slightly ahead of the UK in terms of the extent and type of direct grant funding that's been made available.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so as I mentioned, it is a very extensive report. You look at 10 jurisdictions in total, including the UK. So it would be difficult in the time we have available to look in depth at all of them, but I thought it might be interesting to look in detail at some of the main countries featured by way of comparison. So let's start with one that is definitely been seen to be responding well to the crisis in terms of mortality rate and keeping its citizens safe. So Germany, what are some of the main real estate measures taken there and how are they operating?
Yeah, Germany is quite similar to the measures that the British government introduced, particularly around both residential and commercial leasehold property in two ways, really. First of all, in relation to residential property, they've introduced a moratorium on residential property evictions, preventing landlords commencing possession proceedings, which is in place until the end of June, which is a step further than the British government have gone, in that the British government measures on residential property have sought to extend notice periods from 2 to 3 months for evicting residential tenants. The German government have gone a step further in putting a brake on commencing possession proceedings at all. And on the commercial side, very similar to measures in the UK, mm-hmm. they've introduced a moratorium on the termination of leases for non-payment of rent. So as has been well publicised, the UK government has introduced a moratorium on forfeiture for non-payment of rent. So that's preventing commercial landlords from terminating leases where the rents and other sums due, and that's an important point, other sums due under leases have not been paid by commercial tenants. In both, to compare between Germany and the UK, in both jurisdictions, the measures they have introduced are not rental holidays. So these are not a waiver of rents that are payable by tenants, nor does it prevent other action being taken, whether it being, for example, court proceedings to seek to recover debts that are due. And it doesn't stop interest running under individual lease arrangements. So very similar, actually, in many ways between Germany and the UK.
And another country that you mentioned earlier was France. What approach have they taken?
So France, I would say, have gone a step further in that they have introduced more direct form of state aid in the form of financial measures that are available to individuals and certain types of corporate entities that allow effectively money to be obtained to cover loss of turnover during the COVID-19 pandemic and the state of emergency. Now, initially, loans up to a limit of €1,500 with a secondary level of additional funding of up to €2,000 were available to cover the period of March 2020. So very much looking to cover losses and interruptions that have been suffered in the initial period of the pandemic. It's been expected that those provisions will continue to be kept in place. And indeed, I believe that is the case. So you can see that there's much more sort of state intervention on looking to provide direct cash to affected individuals and businesses. There are, of course, certain criteria, and the report that we've produced goes into the detail of the criteria that apply, the level of funding available, and also the certain conditions on that. So, but at the broad level, it's a sort of direct state intervention. And they've gone a stage further as well in providing quite a specific measure on suspending payment of utility bills and protecting against penalties relating mm-hmm. to utilities and rents and service charges. So there's a suspension there of those sorts of additional charges that businesses may be facing.
Mm.
So quite an innovative approach, and it does differ, it can be seen, from the UK approach.
Mm-hmm. And two of the countries that up till now have been two of the most significantly affected by COVID-19 are, of course, Spain and Italy. How have their responses been in terms of real estate?
Well, Spain is quite interesting because given the very severe impact that they suffered as a nation, as a society from the virus, it's surprising in some ways that particularly in relation to business and commercial leasehold property, they haven't sought to introduce similar measures to those that the British and German governments that we've spoken about have. So, for example, there are currently no equivalent of business rates relief available, whether it be for small business or larger businesses. And commercial tenants, they haven't sought fit to put in place protections on evictions or termination of arrangements. So that struck me as surprising, given that those types of measures are common in other European jurisdictions. However, the emphasis that they have sought to place is around residential property. So there's quite a wide range of measures the Spanish government have introduced, including moratoriums on mortgage debt, so providing relief from enforcement for non-payment of mortgages, protection of eviction of residential tenants, where in certain circumstances, so that is where tenants are able to demonstrate they're in a situation of social or economic vulnerability resulting from the pandemic, broadly speaking. And there are certain rent protections for unemployed workers. So you can see that there's a real focus on the residential sector there, and that chimes with protections for workers and individuals in society. Looks to be the sort of main emphasis of the Spanish government's efforts. Italy has been a combination of direct state aid in some ways similar to France in the sense that they've introduced what's referred to as a solidarity fund, loan facilities available to borrowers of what are described as first principal residences, so effectively providing cash to property owners to meet existing liabilities and to provide direct financial assistance. There are also tenant protections in place, and interestingly, they introduced a tax credit scheme, introducing effectively a 60% tax credit for certain businesses, which in that sense is a tax break, but is a financial relief. And the certain economic stimulus packages where they sought to support funding of key projects and key investments to allow certain transactions to go ahead that are critical to the state. So Italy have probably been the most hands-on in terms of direct state aid.
Mm. Perhaps not surprising with the way it took hold there so quickly.
Yes, and I think it's reflecting just how severe the impact has been. And these are all about priorities. The measures, whilst they are real estate or the impact of the real estate sector, of course, they're really driven by social yeah. imperatives and accepting that different parts of the economy are affected harder than others. So it's they really are driven by both the social policies and the political policies, I would say.
Mm-hmm. So one last country I thought it might be interesting to discuss in detail is Russia. So what has the approach been there?
I think it's fair to say that there's been less direct intervention on the whole. The forms of measures that have been introduced, the one highlight has been a suspension of the timescale for submitting tax returns effectively, or tax declarations as they're referred to as. So those tax declarations were due to be submitted by the end of the first quarter. They've been suspended to June 2020. So in effect, postponing tax liabilities to a degree. So again, that's a intervention on the tax side, and that's an automatically applies There's also been announcements to by the Russian state to confirm that the circumstances in effect qualify as force majeure or events mm-hmm. that will justify non-fulfillment of contracts, which is clearly important. Interestingly, how wide-ranging that will affect real estate contracts remains to be seen, but it does certainly apply to certain types of development contracts, construction and supply contracts, and force majeure type arguments and arguments of frustration and other legal principles that might support terminating contracts, I would say are some of the top of the list of inquiries we've received as a you know, European real estate team around across different jurisdictions. So it's interesting that the Russia have taken the step of confirming that at a state level. So they're two particular highlights. But in terms of sort of direct state aid intervention or some of the other types of measures around grants being made available or similar, that's not currently the approach the Russian state has taken to date. So there is a contrast there. And again, the report summarises the main changes that have been made.
Yeah. And your full report, as we mentioned, it also features Belgium, the Czech Republic, Slovakia and Poland. So are there any particular standout, innovative or interesting measures from those countries?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are quite a few similarities. Belgium have probably been one of the most innovative in the range of beliefs they sought and measures they sought to introduce. And one highlight that I picked out was they've introduced a moratorium until the end of September 2020 on commercial loan repayment obligations. So that's effectively a suspension on the need to make loan repayments. Applies to what are referred to as viable businesses. And there's criteria there about what is a viable business, and it applies to self-employed individuals as well. So that's rather than being linked purely to mortgages or other types of property contracts, there's a more general relief there, which I thought was quite a interesting one. They've also introduced mortgage holidays, which residential property owners can request in certain circumstances. So in other ways, there are various tax reliefs that the Belgian government have introduced as well. So there are similarities, but there's a couple of highlights there from Belgium, which I think has probably gone further than one or two other jurisdictions.
And overall, in looking at the way the various countries have responded, have you found much evidence of different countries working together and learning from each other and sharing expertise in terms of their real estate response? Or do you find they're largely taking an individual approach?
My impression is that it's more an individual approach, but I think it's fair to say that countries are learning lessons from one another. And perhaps that's symptomatic of the way the pandemic has unfolded. It's come in a way that has affected some countries before others. And so, in the European context, for example, Italy was very much on the front line in terms of how the pandemic escalated. And I think that can be seen in their unique nature of the measures they've introduced, very specific to the Italian legal structure and economy. And I think other jurisdictions have learned from that. I don't think we've found necessarily evidence of particular collaboration. The provisions in each jurisdiction, although similar in a lot of ways, are different and are unique. There's different legal rules that apply, of course. Overarching on the EU front, there has been a lot of talk about the direct EU funding and contribution of EU funding to EU member states. Now, interestingly, the extent to which that may apply to Britain, of course, up in the air post Brexit, and we're in the transition period. But so no, I wouldn't say it's characterised by a great deal of collaboration. But there are commonalities in the approach that various jurisdictions have taken, and perhaps that's inevitable as each country looks over the shoulder to learn from the experience of others.
Mm-hmm. And so lastly, just to sum things up, if you could borrow 5 headline points from the other countries featured to implement in the UK, which would you choose?
I'm not sure I can touch on 5, but I think the targeted approach the British government is taking in terms of specific measures, I've talked before about targeting certain sectors on the retail, leisure, hospitality side, in terms of grants available, business rates relief. I think that lessons could be learned around providing more general availability of the funding for businesses. Now, there are obviously business grant schemes for small businesses that are being introduced, but I think the more direct forms of state aid is something that may be considered. And also the other consideration is whether actually the British government needs to go further in intervening in the relationship between commercial and landlord and tenants in particular, because whilst there has been a moratorium introduced on termination of commercial leases for non-payment of rent, other enforcement options for landlords to recover rents are available, and there's been calls for tenants in various sectors that the government should go further to put in place measures that prevents that in the short term. Now, that will always be met with calls by landlords who face their own pressures of funding and operating their own businesses that would be a step too far. But I think that's something that there will be increasing pressure on, because the longer the pandemic goes on, as we move towards the next rental quarter in June, the pressure will only increase. And I think the measures the government have taken have sought to bring landlords and tenants together to seek to, the phrase commonly referred to, share the pain. But that takes a lot of goodwill and it takes cooperation. And the question I think that we'll face, not just the UK government, but other governments as well, is whether or not they need to intervene further in that relationship. And I don't particularly venture a view. There's different perspectives on that, but it is a tipping point, because it does underpin business decision making, which at the end of the day then feeds into viabilities of businesses and employment and the knock-on sort of wider economic effects. So I think the UK government, I think in many ways has gone further, faster than other nations, but in a slightly more targeted way for specific sectors, rather than sort of blanket provisions that might apply in other states.
Okay, I think we'll let you off with 2 very well chosen headline points. That's,
thank you.
So thank you very much for speaking with me about the report. And as I mentioned, it can be obtained on your firm's website, and we will put the link in the podcast description.
That's great. Thank you. Thanks for your time.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, David.